Won't you turn in your Bibles this morning to two places, Hebrews chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 5. We'll read Genesis first. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And he begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Then Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had the testimony that he pleased God. And then verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let's pray and ask God to help us this morning. Father, as we look at this testimony in your holy word, we pray that you help us to inspire to walk as Enoch walked and to have a relationship with you such as he had. Father, how precious our relationship is with you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we pray today that you would stir up our hearts to walk close to you. We ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In Jude 14, Enoch is called the seventh from Adam in order to distinguish him from the other Enoch that is in Genesis, who was from the line of ungodly Cain. And the testimony of Enoch, as you read this testimony of Enoch, the way I see it, it's one of the greatest testimonies in the Word of God. Yet Enoch is, for the most part, overlooked. He has a very short biography, but what is written about Enoch is absolutely amazing. And every Christian ought to pray and to long to realize the life of Enoch. To most people, when they read the life of Enoch, there's nothing exciting about his life. There's no parting of the Red Sea. There's no Jericho walls coming down. There's no fire coming down from heaven consuming the sacrifices or any other of the countless miracles that are in the Word of God. There's nothing excited about it at all. And some of you sit here today, you stay down on yourself all the time because you feel like that you're so useless and you're so insignificant in the kingdom of God. You feel like that there's nothing exciting going on in your life as a Christian. And I wonder sometimes, brethren, sometimes if we don't worry too much about doing than being. And maybe you're not gifted or you're not equipped to do all you'd like to do. But what I want to show you in the life of Enoch today is your relationship to God is more important than all of it. Your plain relationship with God, because we don't read of Enoch doing a lot. But one thing he did do is Enoch walked close to God for so long and uninterrupted that God took this man straight into heaven, and this man never did taste death. We have a tendency to overlook some of the greatest saints that have ever lived because their lives weren't very thrilling, weren't very exciting, they weren't very spectacular. Just to give you an example, in Luke chapter 2, verse 36, it speaks of Anna, the widow of 84 years old, who did not depart from the temple, but she served God with fastings and prayers day and night, who bore witness to the death of the Lord, bore witness to Christ, not his death, but that he was the Redeemer who was to come. And I thank God today that there are secret intercessors in the church who will stand in the gap and seek the face of God. Now, they don't covet the spotlight. These people just love God. They love the church of God. They love the kingdom of God. And they pray day and night for the success of the church of God. Now, you never hear much about the lives of these people because see, there's nothing exciting about just being on your knees and praying before God. But our Father, who sees in secret, will one day in front of the whole world reward these people openly. This thing here holds together good people, not because of the great people that we are. This is held together because somebody's got a testimony that they seek the face of God. And people pray, and they're not in the spotlight. Or Jesus took notice of the poor widow. You remember in the temple when she was going to put her money in and all the rich came and put their money in. And Jesus told his disciples that she put in more than any of them because they put in out of their abundance. But this woman put in everything that she had. Or take John the Baptist. John the Baptist is called the greatest prophet. Yet still the scripture said that John did no miracle. Now, most people, when they think of a great prophet, they would have to call fire down from heaven. They'd have to raise the dead and things like this. Jesus said John was the greatest prophet, yet he did no miracle. So what I wanted to show you this morning, that the greatest testimony is not signs and wonders and works, but the greatest testimony is in relationship to God. And most overlook Enoch, yet he's one of the greatest testimonies in the Word of God. And I tell you, brethren, you need to beware of this sign-seeking generation, because when you take away all the thrill and the excitement, you have to ask yourself, what is left? The words of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, a wicked and evil generation seeketh a sign. A lot of people would not come to this church because it's not exciting enough. But when you seek a sign, and don't get me wrong, you need to be emotional about the Lord. You know, you need to have thrill and excitement. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying is when all this goes away and when everything comes down to you and God, is there a relationship still there with God? And Jesus said, a wicked and an evil generation seeketh a sign. Now, what Jesus is saying is that a generation that has to have a sign is a generation that has no faith. That's what he's saying, because you got to have faith to walk with God all around the clock like Enoch did. We don't get excited when we hear of a man who's walked faithfully and steadfast with God for 50 uninterrupted years. I mean, you know, if a man came in and gave a testimony, be ho-hum, you know, he didn't get cut up and bleeding and fall off a motorcycle and cut by a beer bottle, so his testimony's not too excited. But this man could walk with God 50 years uninterrupted, and it doesn't make us excited. Well, this man probably walks closer to God and knows his God better than anybody. And I'm going to give you some words that's missing in the vocabulary of people today. Consistency. Steadfast, faithfulness, unmoved. These are very important words. No, the man may not be a theological genius. He may not be a miracle worker, but he knows God and God knows him. He loves God and God loves him. And that's the greatest thing you can ask for as in your Christian experience, is that you have a true relationship to God. Look with me at Matthew chapter 7. I think relationship is very important. That's why I picked Enoch this morning. I know you said, well, who is Enoch? Well, he never did die. That's who he is. And he's with God now. And he walked so close to God that God took him right into heaven. Oh, we should all covet a relationship with God like that. That we walk so close to God that God would take us right into heaven. I know it's not exciting. He didn't part the Red Sea. He didn't call no fire down. But Enoch walked with God. He's got one of the greatest testimonies in the Word of God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, talking about relationship, and you've read this many times. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness. So I think relationship is very important, because these people here were doing the works of God. These people were doing miracles and things like this. They had miracle ministries in their name, but they had no saving relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he rejects them at the judgment seat and condemns them. Now, that word he uses here, phanou, is this Greek word that indicates a relationship between the person knowing and the object that is known. And what is known is of value and importance to the one who knows. And this is what establishes the relationship between the two. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3, if any man love God, the same is known of God. And I want to question you this morning. If you don't pray daily, if you don't talk to God, if you don't commune with him through meditating on his word, let me ask you a question. How in the world do you know God? Y'all with me this morning? How do you know God? How do you know somebody that you never talk to or you never fellowship with? Because intimacy comes through communion. Just to give you an example, I don't know George Bush. How many of you know George Bush? He's your president. Okay, now I don't know him personally. I know about George Bush. He's the president of the United States. I've never talked to George Bush. I've never fellowshiped with George Bush. So really, I don't know him, and he definitely does not know me. Now, why do I not know George Bush? I see him on TV all the time. I see him in the newspapers. You know, I read about him. I see him in magazines, wherever. Why do I not know George Bush? It's because we don't have an established relationship between each other. What do I mean by that? I may see him, I may talk about him, I may read about him, but I don't know him personally. And that's the way some people are about God. They read about God, they talk about God, they fellowship with people who talk about God, but they truly don't know God. And what's going to happen on the day of judgment with a lot of people, and that's a sad thing, and that's what he's telling us here in Matthew chapter 7, is Jesus is going to look many people in the eye and say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who work iniquity. You know why? Because they never had a true established relationship with God. You cannot know God without talking to God. Are y'all with me? And fellowshipping with God in the Word of God. And that's why Jesus is saying this, because there's people all over the world. They're so busy with their miracle ministries and everything that they want to do for God, if they don't have time to establish a relationship with God, and they don't realize they've never even been saved. That's what Jesus is saying right here. And that's what he says is going to happen on the day of judgment. But Enoch has such a relationship with God that he walked so close to God that God personally had to take him right on into heaven, because this man walked so close to God. And brethren, you know this, we tell you this all the time. Just because you're under the umbrella of this church or any other church doesn't mean that you know God. And I won't give myself excuses why I don't pray and fellowship with God and his word and his house, because I don't want the Son of God on the day of judgment to look me dead in my eyes and tell me I never knew you. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to look him dead in the eye, because he knows today who knows him and who does not know him. And I don't want him to never tell me that. Every one of us should covet what God said to Abraham. This is what God said about Abraham. He said, for I have known him. He said, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after me, that they may keep the word of the Lord. That's a good thing for God to say about every man here, that I have known him. I can trust him. I know him. I have a relationship with him. He will do what I tell him to do. He will command his household and his children after the way of the Lord. Why did God know Abraham? Abraham's called the friend of God. Why did God know him? It's because he had a relationship with God. Abraham walked with God. Abraham talked with God. God knew all about Abraham, and Abraham knew as much as he could know about God. You can't stand off at the distance and say you know God without relating to God. And many people have that deception in their lives this day. And I tell you today, I'm more amazed at the love of God and the grace of God than at the miracles of God. I'm amazed that a man can even have a relationship with God as being as sinful and wicked as we are. Miracles testify to the power and the majesty of God. And what they do is they leave man without excuse. But what grace does is grace brings salvation to sinners. And that's an amazing thing. And the greatest miracle you'll ever witness is the miracle of saving grace. So when we talk about the life of Enoch this morning, it's very important, because it shows the premium that God puts on a relationship with him. Now, I want to look at three things this morning: the meaning of Enoch walking with God, the circumstances of this walk, and the end of his walk. The meaning of him walking with God, the circumstances of this walk, and the end of this walk. Let's look at the meaning of Enoch walking with God. Now, I know all of us name our kids after somebody in the Bible. I believe if I had another one, which I don't have a problem this happening ever again, I think I'd name him Enoch Grievous. Because I'm going to tell you why I would name him this. Enoch's name in the Hebrew means dedicated. It means dedicated. It means to be set apart for a sacred or solemn purpose. It means to give up wholly or earnestly to dedicate your life to God. Or to give up wholly and earnestly to some person or purpose, and to walk with God and to wholly dedicate your life to God. When you see the word walk in the Old and New Testaments, it's often used for conduct in life. And when it's talked about Enoch walked with God. He maintained a course of action that was conformed to the will of God and that was acceptable in God's sight. Now, there's times you could read in the Word of God that this term walk is used negatively, like to walk in darkness, or like Pastor Bob said this morning, to walk after the flesh. Or you see it used positively in the Word of God, to walk by faith, to walk after the Spirit, to be guided and aided by the Spirit, or to walk in love. In other words, when you walk, you're to go, you're to be occupied with something. So to walk with God implies friendship and intimacy and love. And one must be acceptable to God before they can walk with God. God will not walk with one who is contrary to him. All sinners walk contrary to God. And what I mean by that is God is going this way and you're going that way. You say, well, what happens when somebody repents? Well, when you repent, instead of you going that way, you start going this way, the way God is going, and then you start walking with God. And until you repent, you're walking contrary to God. Or you may say you're going this way, but you're going that way. And so when a person repents, they start walking with God on the narrow way that leads to life. How do you walk with God? You walk with God in conformity to His will, to His word, and to His commandments. What you do when you walk with God is you delight in God in your prayer and meditation. And sinners do not delight in God. They do not delight in the word of God. Therefore, they can do nothing but walk contrary to God. And that's why sinners, why God will never accept anybody that walks contrary to them. Psalm 1 says, sinners walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So God will not walk with one who is contrary to him. Now, I remind you of the scripture in Amos. Amos says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And Hebrews chapter 11 says Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God. So obviously Enoch had been forgiven. Enoch had been justified. Righteousness had been imputed to him on his account, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Enoch was pleasing to God through faith. It's the same faith that saved the dying thief on the cross. It's the same gift of faith that you and I have as true Christians. Enoch was always pleasing to God because he always believed and he always lived in the power of his faith. It was by faith that he pleased God. It was by faith that he walked with his God. And the key to his walk was this, brethren. Enoch realized the divine presence. You cannot walk with a person whose existence is not known unto you. To walk beside someone, you've got to know that they are there. You cannot see God, nor can you see His Spirit. So how do you realize that God is with you? I'll tell you how you realize God is with you. You walk by faith and not by sight. That's how you realize God is with you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Enoch had more than just orthodoxy in his head. He had more than a head full of theological facts. Truth had entered Enoch's heart, and what he believed was true to him, not only as a matter of fact, but a matter of fact in his everyday life. We need to avoid the pitfall of this, and this can happen to any of us, of knowing a lot and realizing a little. Knowing a lot and realizing a little. Look at James chapter 2. I'm going to show you something about faith. Please understand this morning that knowledge itself is not relationship. Y'all with me? Knowledge alone is not relationship. It's heart knowledge that is relationship. It's heart knowledge that calls one to walk with God. And we need to avoid this pitfall of knowing a lot and realizing a little. Enoch realized that God was with him wherever he was. He realized the divine presence of God. That's how he walked so close to God. That's how he walked pleasing to God. How many times do we sin not realizing that God is with us? Are y'all with me? How many times do you realize that God sees every thought, God hears every word, God sees every place you go? A lot of times we walk around like God is with us in church, but He's not with us outside of church. God is with you everywhere you are. And Enoch realized the divine presence of God, and because he realized God was with him, and he loved God, and he respected God so much, that's why he had such a relationship with God. He wouldn't sin because he realized God was with him. I didn't say he didn't sin. I'm just saying that he fought sin, like Pastor Bob was talking about this morning. And this man got so close to God that God took him right up into heaven. Your theological facts do not help you if it's not in your heart. Amen. Y'all with me? You can quote everything you want to in the world, but sin, when sin faces you, you find out whether you love God or not. And you find out whether you realize the divine presence. You know, a lot of people can have a head full of knowledge, and they can go out and somebody can make them mad, and they just completely blow up as a Christian. What good did your knowledge do you? None. It was dead works. Just a dead faith. There's no faith there. You don't believe what the Word of God says. James chapter 2, verse 14. This is what I'm talking about, realizing. And you need to ask yourself, how much of what you know do you realize in your everyday life? What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needful for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. It's called a dead faith. If somebody has a need and you see that need and you don't meet that need, what he's saying is that your faith that you say you have is a dead faith. And how many times, brethren, do we see things that we need to do and we understand what the Word of God says about them, but we don't do them? Y'all with me? Like loving your enemy. Is your faith alive on that one? Most of them say, well, I'm still weak in that area. What about your faith? Or anything that we don't want to do, we don't do it. But if you got real faith and you see a brother or sister that's naked and destitute of food, then he says, if you got faith, then he says, you will meet that need, is what he's saying. I'm just making an example of what he says here. So Enoch, what Enoch did, Enoch didn't merely talk about God. Enoch didn't merely speculate about God or argue about God or read about God. Enoch walked with God. In his daily life by faith, he always realized that God was with him. He realized that God, he regarded God as a loving friend, and he could confide in God. He was one in whom he loved. So it's with your faith that you put realization into your walk with God, because faith is what causes the things that we receive from God to be substance and evidence. It's your faith that grabs hold to these things. If I can give you an example of Moses, by faith we see him who is invisible and walk with him in everyday life. Hebrews 11:27 says, by faith Moses endured by seeing him who is invisible. In other words, he forsook Egypt and the wrath of the king because he saw God who is invisible. He realized that God was with him, but the reason why he realized that was because of his faith. So Enoch had a great relationship with God, an unbelievable relationship with God, because of his faith. Another key to his walk with God, Enoch's relationship with God was a continuous relationship. Genesis 5:22 says this, after he begat Methuselah, he walked with God for 300 years uninterrupted. That's a long time, isn't it? Yet still, Enoch lived a short life. Now, I know a lot of you in here are worrying about how old you are. Go back and read Genesis 1-5 and you'll feel better about yourself. It made me feel pretty good when I said, and Enoch was young at 300 years. But that Enoch, his relationship with God wasn't up and down, start and stop, in and out. His walk with God was uninterrupted for all those years. He worked happily and lovingly for 300 years, and he walked steadfast and unmovable with the Lord. Enoch stayed in calm, happy, loving, enjoyable fellowship with God. And brethren, isn't it true? Most of us struggle to walk with God for a week uninterrupted. This man walked with God for 300 years uninterrupted. Now, those years are not like the years today, because if it was like our lifetime, he lived about, in our lifespan, it would have been like 30-something years. He died at a young age. He didn't die, but he was taken over on the other side at a young age. God took him at a young age, but he walked so close to God that God did take him. But the thing about Enoch didn't run. Enoch didn't rush. Enoch didn't leap. But Enoch steadily walked with God. He quietly, steadily, and confidently walked with God. And I asked the question this morning, how many have we seen that didn't start walking, but they start running, rushing, and leaping with God? I tell you what, if you start out with God running, rushing, and leaping, I can almost guarantee you, you're going to run out of energy. Enoch confidently, steadily, and quietly walked with God each and every day of his life. A lot of people, when they first become Christians, they think that they have to keep up with everybody else. All you need to do is walk with God in your life where you are now. You can't do what everybody else does. Some guy may be going away this fast and this one may be going this fast. Hey, if you're just dragging along with God, as long as you're with God, he's pleased. And Enoch didn't walk and run and leap. And that's what happens to a lot of people. A lot of young guys, when they want to be preachers, they run and walk and leap, and then they get discouraged and they fall away from God. All I can tell you is take your time, because the road is rough. I'm telling you, there's stumps and stuff, and a lot of times you're running so fast, you fall over these stumps and have break your neck and everything. Then you're mad at God, you're mad at the church, you're mad at everybody else. Take your time and establish a true relationship with God. Because you're just living off of pure emotion. When the emotion goes away, then you'll find out whether or not you really know God or not. So sometimes, brethren, the emotions and everything, you just down there, it's just you and God. Look at John chapter 6. A lot of times people will walk with God, and God will say something that will offend you. Will you still walk with him? Enoch continued to walk with God. Y'all with me this morning? Oh, what a testimony he had. John chapter 6, verse 65, just to show you an instance where people were walking with Jesus because Jesus said some things they didn't like. I wonder what God will say to any of us that we don't like, that will make us turn back from God. I hope nothing. But a lot of people begin to walk with God. And it's amazing that this passage of scripture that we're getting ready to look at right here had to do with the sovereignty of God and the election of God that made a lot of people turn back from God. And if it's anything to make people turn back, it's what happened right here in John chapter 6, verse 65. He says here, Jesus talking to these people, disciples that were following him, "Therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." And that's a real simple thing, isn't it? It said, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." I just want to read that simple passage of scripture because I want you to get ready, because walking with God, you're going to talk in fellowship with God. You're going to talk in fellowship a lot. God's going to say some things that are going to offend you. And I'm going to ask you the question, will you still walk with him? Because Enoch never turned back. And true disciples will never turn back because they don't want to leave them, nor is there anywhere else for them to go. I thought about it yesterday. If you turn back and don't walk with God, you only have one option. That's to go back walking with the world. That's it. You're either walking with God or you're not. And if you're not walking with God, then you're back walking with the world and the devil. And they turn back from God, but when you look at Enoch, he walked continuously for 300 years. Enoch had heaven on earth for 300 years. His walk with God was so sweet that he walked beyond time and space and walked right into paradise, where today he still marches on in that same divine society. A lot of people say, "I can't wait to get to heaven." You can have heaven on earth right now. Not the real heaven, not everything that's up there, but you can have heaven on earth. What is heaven on earth? Walking with God. Being close to God. When you get to heaven, the main thing about heaven is you're going to have uninterrupted communion with God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's what heaven is. People say, "Well, maybe I'll have a bigger bank account, or I see some of the baseball players that died and we can watch them play." That's not heaven. Heaven is uninterrupted communion with God. That Enoch enjoyed the presence of God. That's what heaven is on earth, is the fact that you know that God is pleased with you, that you love God and God loves you. That's what heaven is on earth, brethren. Not having all the money in the world, all the fame in the world, all the fortune in the world. Heaven on earth is that you know God and that God knows you and you walk with God every day. That's heaven on earth. Oh, we get our priorities so mixed up sometimes. I'm beginning to pray that, I pray a lot now, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Not till you saved all your elect, but come quickly." And I ask God to give me a hunger for heaven, because I just don't feel like I have the right hunger for heaven. You know, I read the saints of old, and they look forward to that more than anything. The fact that one day they would be with God forever and ever, you know, no more sin, this, that, or the other. They can praise the Lamb daily and everything. And I just don't feel like I've got that mentality, like I need to have it. So I've been praying to give me a heart and a hunger just to be with you all the time. Another thing about Enoch's walk, this walk was progressive. At the end of 200 years, Enoch wasn't where he began when he first began to walk with God. He was in the same company. He had the same companion. But Enoch had made progress. Enoch had gone forward in the right way. By the end of 300 years, Enoch enjoyed more. Enoch understood more. Enoch loved more. Enoch received more and had gone forward in all aspects of walking with God. One who walks with God over the years should grow greatly in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to walk with God for years and years, you have to be strengthened, you have to be sanctified, you have to be cleansed and rendered more able to glorify God, and you ought to be much, much wiser as you walk with God over year after year after year after year. And as God talked Enoch, he probably delved into the deeper things of God beyond what most men ever know. Because of his walk with God, he lived a happy, holy life. And his pilgrimage was a safe one because he walked with Jehovah, who, as one man says, is a sun and a shield for Enoch. Well, let's look at the circumstances of his life. We don't have much of a biography on Enoch. His life, like I said, had no adventures in it. Walking with God is adventure enough. But a lot of people read this and see this in Genesis chapter 5, and they say, well, Enoch had peculiar circumstances, and he had an advantage. His life wasn't like mine. I mean, you don't really know how busy I am, and I'm going to hit a few things here this morning. You know, it's not enough time to do this. You know, God doesn't expect everybody to do this. But let me tell you something about Enoch. Number one, Enoch was what you call a public man. He's called the seventh from Adam, and he was a notable man. And because he's one of the patriarchs, he's looked up as one of the fathers of his age. Now, in those days, a patriarch was looked up to, and a patriarch was loaded with responsibility as well as with honor. Enoch was a man that had a lot of public cares and responsibilities, yet he stayed on his holy course and he walked with God daily. Enoch, you say, well, I'm a businessman. Enoch probably had more to do than a businessman because he was a patriarch. And they would come to him with all kind of problems, and he was looked up to, and he was a noted man. Enoch was a busy man. Another thing about Enoch was a family man. The scriptures say that he begat sons and daughters in Genesis chapter 5 for 300 years. I don't know how many years he begat sons and daughters. You have a lot of kids in 300 years. Yes, you can. Now, if we was living the time now, we'd be building a much bigger church than what we're building right now. Believe me. This would be the bathrooms, I guess, if it's, you know. But some would say that it's impossible to walk with God when you got a lot of children around you, because you would say, and I know you women, you say, how are you going to ever pray and read scriptures and fast? And with a large family, all the disturbances and distractions will kill all the opportunities. And most people say, well, maybe if I could find a deep place in the woods and just take a jug of water and a loaf of bread, I could walk with God. But with a troop of children who are never quiet day and night, how is it possible? Or the woman who's married would say, if I stayed single, I might have walked with God much closer. Because before marriage, I was full of devotion. But now I got a demanding husband. I've got children. And I've got all kind of things and unlimited wants that I have to meet before I can walk with God. How is it possible to walk with God? I'm going to give you the answer to that. Enoch is the example. That does away with all our excuses. Amen. We'll give you something. I'll tell you something this morning so we all hear real good. It's not your circumstances that keep you from walking with God. It's your heart that keeps you from walking with God. We lay on our circumstances and make all kind of excuses. But when it comes to the day of judgment, God's not going to lay your circumstances out and say, oh, yeah, I see why you couldn't do this, because you had to do this, because you had to do that, because you... No, you know what God's going to say? This is why you didn't do it. It's because you didn't want to do it. Are y'all with me this morning? It's your heart, not your circumstances. Enoch walked with God. They had kids and everything. We've seen he's a public man. For 300 years during that time, he begat sons and daughters and stuff like that. You do not have to be a hermit, nor do you have to renounce marriage in order to live near God. We've got professors in here. We've got doctors in here. We've got electric men here. We've got pharmacists in here. We've got painters in here. We've got distinguished telephone men in here. We've got everything in here. But there's no excuse for any of us not to walk with God. It's not your circumstances. It's your heart. He said, what are you telling me this morning? I'm saying that if you love God, you'll make a way to walk with God. You'll make a way. And a lot of times we use these, what I call, lame duck excuses. The world's too fast. It's too much to do. My hours, my schooling, my this, my that, my that. Do you love God? Then walk with God. Because this man walked so close to God that God took him, and he was not. The last thing about Enoch this morning, Enoch lived in a very evil age. He lived in a time when sin was beginning to cover the whole earth. And not long before God destroyed it with the flood, Enoch was on the earth. Our brother Kurt will be preaching about Noah tonight. He'll tell you about the flood. But Enoch lived not too long before that. And Enoch lived in the day of mockers and despisers of God. Turn to the book of Jude. He lived in a day when long lives had produced great sinners. It was a day of compromise. In the day of Enoch, few loved God. You say, why are we looking at this? Because we can't complain of the time that we live in. Because in the midst of it, we can still walk with God. And Enoch, As you read this prophecy of Enoch, you'll see that he lived in a tough time. Jude 14. He says, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also. Talked about false prophets and teachers and things like this. Saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, you think Enoch lived in a good society? Sounds like today, doesn't it? These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and their mouth, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. So he talks about Enoch, and here he prophesies the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it speaks of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners spoke against the Lord, and they spoke against Enoch. And when Enoch lived on the earth this time, I guarantee you, they rejected his testimony, and they grieved his spirit. So the bottom line of this, brethren, was that Enoch was a preacher of the word of God. He had care far above what most of us face, yet he continued here to walk in faith in a way that pleased God, so that his communion with God was never broken. We come up with all kinds of excuses why we can't walk with God. Enoch walked with God in the midst of a generation of great sinners. You say it's hard to walk with God right now. You can make it hard to walk with God right now. Or you can make it easier to walk with God right now. You just need to set your face like a flint and walk with God. It's simple. Whether you're in an evil generation or whether you're in a decent generation, which I don't know if it's ever been one, you can still walk with God. Well, what about the end of his walk? And this is a blessing. Enoch finished his work early. His walk with God was so good, it was so sure, it was so progressive that Enoch traveled faster and he reached his house sooner than some of us who walk with God sometimes and with the world other times. Enoch's eye was single towards God. You say, what's the difference between most of us and Enoch? God and Mammon? We try to hold on to both of them. Enoch had a single eye toward God. He walked with God single every day. And for 300 years or more, Enoch walked continuously undisturbed before God. Didn't say he didn't have no ups and downs. He didn't go through things. I'm just saying that he stuck with God. He did his life's work so diligently that God took him on into heaven. His work was done so well. He kept so close to God that his work was done, as we would say, at noon. God seemed that there was no need for Enoch to any longer be out of heaven. He had borne his testimony that he had fully pleased God, and God took him home before he could ever see death. One man says, God never keeps his wheat out in the fields longer than is necessary. When it is ripe, he reaps it at once. And the same things happen when Christians die. Their work is done. Now, some of you probably live a long time because you got much work to do. And hope you do and get the work done. But Enoch was so close to God, he got his work done very, very soon. We wonder why some men die young. And, you know, I read the works of Jonathan Edwards and guys like that. And some of them guys, you know, died real young, like John Owens and stuff like that. But their work was done. And like, I think Pastor Bob was reading out of John Owens this morning. I mean, if you read some of his stuff, that man was a young man when he died. How in the world did he write that much in that little time in his life? But his work was done, and God took him home. Because the world, as we'll see later, was no longer worthy of men like him. What happened to Enoch? Only two of all the human race has entered heaven without tasting death so far, and it was Enoch and Elijah. In 1 Corinthians 15:51, the Apostle Paul says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So those who do not die will undergo a change. And Enoch underwent some kind of change. I don't want to get into ramifications of all of that, but I know that God transformed him and he took him to heaven. The scriptures say that God took him, and how many saw it or how many didn't, I don't know. But they did miss him because they said that he was not found. So apparently they went to look for Enoch the same that they went to look for Elijah. So this man lived so close to God that he literally walked right into heaven. What a testimony. What a testimony. every Christian should covet the life of Enoch. Hebrews 11:38, turn to that one. It's our last scripture, or next to the last. What a blessed testimony with all the people in Hebrews 11, but I picked out Enoch because he's overlooked. What a testimony that a man can live this close to God. Brethren, I really believe that if we get more concerned about being than doing, the doing will come. What am I before God? What is my relationship with God? A lot of times we get so tied up in doing that we forget about being, and we lose that relationship with God. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 38, he says this about these heroes of faith. And I just want to read this first verse. Of whom the world was not worthy. Enoch took God. God took Enoch because the world was not worthy of such a saint. You say, what do you mean by that? They don't understand the value of such a person, nor do they know how to use such a person. So the world was not worthy of such a saint. So God rewarded him with eternal life and just took him right out of this ungodly, wicked, evil world. What a testimony. Enoch left us with the greatest testimony one can leave, for before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Many want the greatest gifts in life, but few die and leave the testimony that they please God. God is not impressed with our gifts because they all belong to him. Your daily walk with God by faith is what pleases God. The gifts and everything, they have their place. I'm not knocking that. But I'm asking you today, what is your testimony? Because Enoch left this work in this world and he had a testimony that he pleased God. On the great day of judgment, there'll be many who were unknown and quiet in the churches, who labored in prayers and constant communion with God, who walked with God and knew God. And many of those will hear these words, well done, thou good and faithful servants. They've done many things that you never heard of, but God knew everything they did because they walked with communion with God day in and day out, and they never backed off of that communion. What does God want from us? Look at Micah chapter 6. We'll close down with this one. Just a little few words to the unsaved. But what does God want from us? Micah chapter 6. Verse 8. Brethren, take this to heart this morning. Your relationship with God is more important than anything. And this is what God wants. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's not a lot, is it? Because if you walk humbly with God, you'll do all the other things that were required of us in the Word of God. But a lot of times we're too busy doing than being. Enoch left this earth. He had a testimony that he pleased God. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. And to the unsaved this morning, I just remind you of Psalm 1 that says you're blessed if you walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but you delight in the law of the Lord. We call you today to come to Christ by faith. And what we ask you to do is something that will bless you the rest of your life. Instead of you walking contrary with God, you can walk with God. Because right now, he's going this way. You're going that way. And the only way that you can get on the path of God is you got to come to him through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you can walk like Enoch walked. You can walk close to God. And the end of every walk with God is heaven. Everyone will walk right into heaven, whether we go through death or whether we leave this place like Enoch did. Enoch walked with God. And when Enoch left this earth, Enoch had the testimony that he pleased God. May that be every one of us' testimony when we leave this earth. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you this morning that you give us such blessed information in your holy word that can help us, Father, to commune with you and to walk with you and to love you more and more. We thank you once again this morning that you've paved the way through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we can have a fellowship with you and that we can have communion with you and that we can approach your holy throne. We do ask today that we would look at the life of Enoch and that you would cause each and every one of us to be more intimate with you, to talk to you, to pray, to meditate upon you, to think upon you, because these are the greatest things that we can do in life. And we ask you for the power and ability to do it. We ask it all in Jesus' most glorious name. Amen.